Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Master of None podcast. I am your host, as always, Stephen Murphy, joined by the regular rugby crew of Westy and Sam. We are all sweaty and disgusting because Ireland at the moment is an oven. It's like 28 degrees and we're inside recording a podcast. The computer's hot, screens are giving off heat. It's just not a comfortable place to be right now. But we're here because it's Lions week, first test Saturday, and we're here to pick some teams and go over teams that we picked last year, actually, in fact, which would be good crack. But first of all, Sam, how are you?
Good, yeah. Sweating like nobody's business. Was out playing a bit of softball in the heat there. Things got a bit heated, but better now. And better now I'm inside with the curtains closed. It's not easy. I was looking at a heat map of Ireland there from yesterday on the news, and Galway was like winning in terms of like the highest temperature. And it's never like that. We're usually like, usually it's scorching on everyone's Instagram stories. And I'm looking out the window looking at rain. So
it's like you open the door to go outside and it's just like, it just hits you in the face. And you're like, oh God. Westy, how are you handling the heat?
I used to be really good in heat. I used to think like, I used to always look forward to these 2 weeks a year when we are hot. But I know it's because I'm, you know, in my 30s now, but I have become a very sweaty individual.
I was in
the gym this afternoon, not working very hard, but I have never been so sweaty in a gym in my life.
Oh, I'd say gyms stink right now. I'd say it's disgusting.
It's a fun place to be.
You lost your ability to thrive in the heat when you gave up the blonde highlights and the shell necklace.
That was the secret. Yeah, that was it.
Sam's been waiting to sit on the podcast for probably a year now. But yeah, that's for another podcast, Westy. Your blonde highlight stage. That could be an hour in itself. But no, we're here to talk about Lions. Obviously, the Lions defeating the Stormers at the weekend pretty easily. So there's not much to talk about there. And everyone at the moment is picking their Lions 23 matchday squads, which we were talking in the WhatsApp. We didn't obviously say our selections, but Westy, one of the toughest things, like, first of all, you can't pick a bad team. This is, you know, there's incredible players throughout the squads, but trying to pick, you know, what you think Gatlin will go with, or do you go with what your personal preference is? It's not an easy task, is it?
Yes, I saw one article there talking about, like, oh, if you pick a Lions team on form, like, all these guys make it, all the Irish guys make it. It's like, yeah, but it's not on form at all, though. It's on how you're going to beat South Africa. So you're not going to pick players that play into whatever the game plan is in the best way. And I guess our kind of job today is try and guess what the game plan is. Although Gatlin's done very well at giving very, unless the game plan is to never, ever take the scrum. He's given very little away, to be honest with you.
I mean, you know, what's South Africa really good at? Scrums. So
even when they're down to 13 men, you don't take the scrum? Really?
Yeah, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Yeah, I think it's a case of, yeah, we're going to show you absolutely nothing, which I like.
The picking on form one is hilarious because I've been seeing all these people saying you have to pick on form and then picking Henshaw. And I'm like, okay, but what form are you talking about? Are you talking pre-tour form? Because that rules out a load of people. Or are you talking tour form? Because that rules out a load of people. But people are like, just any form at some point in the last year, and we'll include it.
I was thinking Thor form, as in like just strength. That would be pretty cool. Ooh, yeah. Just get loads of strong guys in.
Strongest team, strongest 15.
Strongest team ever, yeah, why not? I think I seen an article today, Rory Best was calling for Johnny Sexton should have been in this team or squad or something ridiculous. So it's good to see that still going. Keep it going, guys.
Still going.
What we'll do, first of all, first we'll go back. We did a podcast around, was it a year ago?
Started lockdown, probably March or April last year.
March or April, we said we'll take a stab of if the Lions was at that stage, what would our kind of team be? So Sam went back, in fairness, and unearthed the evidence. So I think what we'll do is we'll go through the teams. We'll start with the front row with Sam. So I have yours here in front of me. So you went Rory Sutherland, Jamie George and Sinclair. Not bad. I don't know if they'll start, but not bad at all. Your second rows then was obviously Alwyn Jones and Itoje, which again, pretty solid. We all went for Underhill in the back row, and he didn't even make the tour, which is kind of a shame. You went then for Josh Navidi and Tom Curry. You had Davis and Russell at 9-10, Aki at 12, and Tuilagi at 13, which we all would have loved to have seen. And then you had Josh Adams, Anthony Watson, Stuart Hogg. So again, pretty good, Sam. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, like I'd be happy if it was the team, if it was possible. Like the Underhill one, when I was listening back to it, because obviously hindsight's 20/20, but when I was listening back to it, we all were discussing it, and kind of the premise of the show we did was picking based on the recent form of those players. So it was as if the Lions tour was last summer. And Underhill at the time, there was no moving him. And I think, like, you know, he could actually still feel a little bit aggrieved about not being there. But the Navidi one, I think we were all talking and praising Navidi at the time and still are. And Curry is just completely still on form. Aki, I'll die on that hill. I will defend that man forever. Not that he needs defending. Like, I was watching one of those Lions, you know, the interview things that they do, and they're talking about the three lads sit down and answer fan questions. I can't remember. It was Hill was one of them, and who was it? It was definitely Hill anyway. And they were saying who would be the best boxer, and they were all like Bundy.
Oh, just clarify, in the ring or on a door? Oh, that's bouncer. Sorry, that's different. Sorry. I was gonna say, he'd be a pretty good bouncer as well, though, in fairness to him outside a pub. Westy, we'll go on to your team. You had front row of Marco Vanapolo, Jamie George, and Furlong. Again, not bad. Once it's still possible, you're doing well.
Yeah.
You then had, obviously, Alwyn Jones and Itoje. You had Son Underhill, Justin Tipperick, which unfortunately is out to injury. And you had CJ Standard, which WhatsApp hilariously corrected to CJ Standard, which is almost like a sly dig at CJ Standard, that he's standard, which is, we should have thought of that quicker. You had then, obviously, Thomas Williams and Finn Russell. You two went with Finn Russell. These are really hoping for some flash.
I'll defend you, man. I'm doubling down.
Still, injury, I think, will rule him out, unfortunately. But you then had a centre partnership, Westy, of Farrell and Tuilagi. And then, obviously, Adams, Watson on the wing, and Hogg as well, similar to Sam. Bar CJ, Westy, though, pretty happy, I'd say.
Thomas
Williams.
Yeah, Thomas Williams didn't make the squad, obviously. Tipper getting injured, Standard, Underhill. Yeah, I mean, my back row pretty much fell apart completely. And again, I mean, I think had Tuilagi been fit, I think he probably would have been on the tour. Obviously, a year ago, you don't know what's going to happen with people with injuries. No, I'm pretty happy overall. I mean, what, like 80% of that team is a possibility now. I don't know. I don't know if I would pick that team now, but most of those players are still in contention for their spots on Saturday.
Yeah, my team then, I had Marco Vanapolo, Jamie George, and Tiger Furlong, which I think was similar to, I think the exact same as yours, Westy.
Yeah.
I had James Ryan and Maro Itoje, so I was...
You were aggressively defending them as well. You were full off the ball.
Well, if Gatland didn't hit Irish players, he'd still be there. So that's all I'll say on that. No, I think a year ago, that wasn't a bad decision.
I think at the time I was arguing that you were a year past that being a good decision. So it's 2 years.
No, I don't think so. Westy, a year ago, that wasn't a bad call, right?
2019's his last good year, man.
Yeah, probably wasn't. Well, it was a disjointed season, so you're probably still going off primarily 2019 because the season wasn't finished. So you were hoping he'd recover well this year.
Yeah, he didn't. Spoiler alert, he didn't. I then had Underhill, Navidi, and I had Billy Vanapolo, thinking again that we were getting fit Billy Vanapolo, which we didn't, unfortunately. I also had Thomas Williams. I had Farrell at 10, Aki Tuilagi 12, 13. More for what I wanted to see rather than what I thought I'd see. And then I had May and Watson as my wings. Johnny May, who had a fantastic Six Nations at the time, I believe.
Yeah,
and then I had Liam Williams at fullback. So, looking back, the only ones obviously that look stupid now, I think, is James Ryan and Billy Vanapolo because he was crap this year. But you know, Watson and Williams, Johnny May obviously didn't make the squad, but which is unfortunate for me. But let us know if you're listening and you want to let who had the best team and who had the worst team a year ago. I think I probably had the worst team looking back at it now, as in lads who didn't make the squad. So that's unfortunate. But now it's a year on, roughly. We obviously know who's on the squad now. We've watched the warm-up games, and now it's time to start. Well, I picked it on kind of a mix of what I wanted to see and what I thought Gatland might do. Westy, what did you kind of lean a certain way, or did you kind of go down the middle?
I think when I was picking it, yeah, kind of down the middle, I guess. I was kind of trying to think of who's been picked to do a job and when is that job going to be applicable. I do go over and back kind of every time I look at it, one or two players. There's also a big question on Alan Wynne-Jones. Do you put him in straight away in the first test? I know he came on against Stormers and he was fine, but it's obviously a very different thing. You could see them maybe holding him back. So it's a bit more, for me, it's kind of the team that's excited me so far, with a little bit of kind of maybe this is the way Gatland is thinking.
Okay, well, we'll start front row, Westy. We'll start with your team. Give me your front row to face South Africa this Saturday.
I've gone with Wyn Jones, Cowan Dickey, and Tadhg Furlong.
Okay. Sam, your reaction to that? Actually, yeah. Sam, give me your front row then. We'll do our all front row.
Picking, I didn't go with Wyn Jones. Picking between Sutherland and Mako was difficult because Mako had a barnstorm in 20 minutes the weekend just to kind of put himself back in contention. But I went with Sutherland, Cowan Dickey, and Furlong.
So I've also gone with Sutherland, Cowan Dickey, and Furlong. Reason for Sutherland, he seems to have played a lot with Furlong in the warm-up games. And I can't imagine that's by accident. Westy, just out of interest, why have you gone for Wyn Jones over Sutherland? Or Mako for that?
Well, Mako hasn't played that much in a build-up so far. I have Mako on the bench to come on as an impact player because you're going to need a little bit more physicality in the last 20 minutes or so. I went with Wyn Jones. I just thought he was the more experienced of the players. I think he has the most game time. I think it's more logical that he's probably going to get the nod. Gatland loves Welsh lads as well, so I kind of thought that was probably a bit of a factor that might come into it. But no, I think Wyn Jones has been really reliable. I think he's really steady. I think Sinclair's been really good when he's come on, but I just don't think he's as consistent. As Wyn Jones. Or sorry, as Ferguson hasn't been as consistent as Wyn Jones.
Yeah, I think, we've all gone for Cowan Dickey. I think we're kind of looking at that as his around-the-pitch kind of performance as well as, line out solid and all that. A lot of people kind of saying Ken Owens possibly just for the scrummaging. Sam, can you see that being a possibility?
Yeah, you can, but you can also see Jamie George being a possibility. Like, I have Jamie George on my bench because I think he's played brilliantly when called upon. I think he's more of a meat and two veg kind of hooker than Ken Owens or Cowan Dickey. Like, I like them all really, and I wouldn't be disappointed to see any of them starting a hooker, but I just think Cowan Dickey gets around a lot more. I think he's an extremely good chop tackler. I think he flirts with the line of legality there.
He's going to knock himself out someday.
Someone that was knocked out cold like 2 weeks ago for 20 seconds on the pitch, he's sticking his head at knees a lot, you know, and if he gets away with it, great, because it's bringing down the big lads. And I think that's a lot of what you got to do. And we were talking about this a couple of days ago, is you make your tackles and you let them get the offload if that's coming. I think going high on monsters the size of the South African players is silly, and it's just going to backfire. I think what you need to do is do like Luke Cowan Dickey and just go low and just get the tackle made first up and then kind of work out what's going to happen after.
Yeah, his physicality is definitely one of the reasons why I picked him as well. It's like, yeah, I feel bad for his body because it's taken an absolute battering, but he can match the physicality of the South Africans and, you know, the aggression that they will bring. So that's why I think Furlong is a one of the few kind of locks on this team, as in, like, you know, was destined to start. So that was pretty obvious. Sam, kick us off with your locks, your second row. Give us your 4 and 5. This is a tough one.
This was a very tough one. I like when you were asking Westy what he thought. What did he go with, what he wants, or did he go with what Gatland's going to do, or kind of mix of both? I went with a mix of both. And this has changed game to game so far on the tour, because, you know, I think Henderson should be in there. I think he's played really, really well. I think, you know, Laws could take a claim to being in there or being in the back row, but I had to go with Itoje and Alan Wyn Jones. And I think that I'm picking Alan Wyn Jones purely on the fact that I just don't see him being brought out if he's not going to be capable. Like, maybe it might be a case where he's left to the second test just to allow himself to get a bit more time. But I just think Gatland's not, you know, we know that Gatland doesn't care really about the personal side of things. It's he picks the team for the team, and if Alun Jones was available to him, he's going to pick him, I think, and that's why I went with him. And he didn't seem out of sorts at all in the game the other day. I know it was only a little kind of 20 minute cameo, but he put in a good few kind of hits, and he was getting around, and he didn't seem like there was any wincing. So I don't think you can look past the two of them if they're both fully fit.
Yeah, Westy.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue at all. I've gone with the exact same two players. I really wanted to give it to Henderson, and if I'm honest, I think, as you say, Henderson probably does deserve it. But I think Alan Wyn Jones is your intended tour captain. This is the first test. If he's coming out, he's coming out to play. If he's going to play at all, he's going to play the first test and see how he goes from there. We could see a substitution earlier than normal. I think it's going to be a 6-2 split on the bench. So So I think that eventuality is going to be prepared for that. He has to come off again injured. So yeah, I think he's your tour captain. I think Mauro Itoje is just, you know, his form really, well, not his form, but his ability speaks for himself. I know we haven't seen a lot of him because he's still playing with Saracens, but I think anytime we have seen him this season, he has been, well, kind of off to a slow start in the England jersey, but I just think you're not going to leave his physicality out of it. I think by the looks of the way the Lions refused to scrum when they had the two-man advantage over South Africa A, I think they're trying to put down a physical marker there. I think they're trying to show South Africa that they're going to run right at them and wear them out and show them not scared of them. And I think to do that in a test match, you're going to have two big, strong physical locks.
Yeah, this was, again, yeah, tough. I think Itoje was always going to be one of the two. I've actually doubled down and gone with James Ryan again. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I've gone Alwyn Jones. I was very close to putting Beard in because I've seen so many people who know what they're talking about when it comes to rugby, unlike me, saying, you know, the impact he has when it comes to a mall and the line out is incredible and he just seems to get the job done. But as you said, if Alwyn Jones is out there, he's going to play. And I think that's just inevitable. As you say, even not even just for on-field performance, but for what he brings, you know, as a leadership figure as well. I feel terrible for Ian Henderson because I don't think he's done anything wrong. It's just, unfortunately, a very tough team to make. And I think going forward, I think Itoje and Alwyn Jones. We'll move on now to what I think was the toughest. I know we've said that so far, but this was the toughest three jerseys to pick. Westy, the back row, which has become in every country, just seems to have a wealth of talent at this position. So picking, you know, three spots is always going to be tough. But give us your back row.
Okay, I think here I kind of went with what I want to see, maybe more than what it will be. But I went with Tadhg Byrne, Hamish Watson, and Toby Faletau. I think that. I also kind of concerned that maybe it won't be Byrne and Watson because they're both specialist ball poachers. They're both there to, you know, like they're both great at turning over ball. I know there's smaller games, but you see Watson doing it in the first couple of warm-up games, especially against Chelsea Sharks. You see him kind of hanging out around the rooks, picking his moments to get in over ball. We've seen Byrne do it everywhere ever since he started playing for Scarlets all those years ago. He's also a really strong ball carrier. I think Watson gives you that bit of dog, that bit of fight and aggression that you want as well. And again, Toby Faletau's reputation speaks for himself. You want a specialist eight. You want an out-and-out eight in that position. And I think Toby Faletau is more than established in, you know, in every jersey he's played in. And I think Gatland will back him.
Yeah, I've gone for the exact same. Byrne, Watson, Faletau. Again, yeah, Byrne, I'd love to see Byrne. I feel like he might miss out. Nearly because he's so good at covering both spots that he might get a bench spot, you know, when it comes to the second row and the back row. And obviously some people question his physicality and size still, which I don't particularly buy into. Watson, I think he's just a fantastic player. And as you said about Faletau, it's again one of those players it was before the tour even began that he was going to be the number eight under Gatland. And it looks like that's will be the case.
I had kind of gone with Curry and Watson, but I think they're both seven, so I don't think it's likely that he'll put one of them at six when he has someone like Tadhg Byrne available, but maybe that's wishful thinking more than anything else.
Sam, are you going to make a three in a row, or have you?
No, I went with Byrne, Curry and Faletau, and it pained me to leave out Watson. I think all the points you make about Watson are perfect.
He's too small, isn't he? He's too small.
He's too small. No, he's unbelievable, and in fairness, it was hard to pick those three, but it was also hard to pick the replacement back rows as well. Like I have on my bench, I have slashes all over the place, but it's Hamish, Conan or Laws, like, you know, because Jack Conan, he's done enough as well, like, to go in ahead of Faletau. But I think what you get off Hamish on the bench is unbelievable. And Curry is just so good. He's been so good consistently for a few years now. He's been good in bad England teams in the last year or two as well. And he's been brilliant so far in the tour. I thought he was absolutely stellar the last day. So I just think the Byrne point is like any chance he gets, he's poaching. I think Curry's the same. I think he adds a dynamism as well. And then Faletau, he's got the established head on him. He's got the experience. He's got everything. And Gatland trusts him. But what I will say, and I was going to say this point now in the second rows, is I really don't think that the test teams are going to be the same as much as usual. I think that this tour is very different, and I think that you might see quite a lot of changes between tests, you know, not wholesale, but I think that without the midweek games and with the attrition, the level of attrition that's going to be needed and the type of game you're going to be playing against South Africa, I could see a thing where Curry plays this week, Hamish plays next week, and they're aware of that going into the 2 weeks. They have a plan in terms of like how to build up for 2 weeks' time sort of thing. And the same with the likes of Henderson. I can see him being told that he is definitely going to be involved in the second week or the third week. And the same with Beard as well. Like that's, I think that this tour is going to be a good bit more changing between the test teams than we've seen previously.
Yeah, it's a good point. Courtney Laws at six, just for purely size as a possibility.
I have him on the bench.
Yeah, so do I.
He's not on my bench because I put Hamish there, but it was a toss up between himself and Byrne. I really like Courtney Laws. I think he's one of the best kind of sixes and the hybrid kind of sixes you can get. So if you have him on the team, what he won't do is the same sort of groundwork as Byrne, but what he will do is bring absolute physicality and really stop people in their tracks. So, you know, you could see a world where Gatland goes with him and you wouldn't be disappointed.
Yeah, I think he's the biggest risk to Tadhg Byrne getting the sixth jersey, yeah. And rightly so. But Westy, your 9-10 partnership, which is, you know, going into, you know, when Conor Murray got captaincy, obviously everyone was sort of saying, you know, obviously a very good chance he starts tests as nine. But that has sort of changed over the last kind of 2 weeks. So who are you going with? Again, are we assuming Dan Bigger is healthy?
Just assume he's healthy, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's healthy. I've picked him, so I mean.
Yeah, okay. We're assuming he's healthy. So who do you have accompanying him at nine?
I've got Murray and Bigger. I think they're your kind of most experienced pair. Like, you could make an argument for, not like Davies and Price have been playing really well, but I think Murray, he's a third tour lion. Like, he's so much experience. He's obviously vice captain. If Alan Wynne Jones goes down, Murray is the natural kind of person to take over during the game, which, you know, this could be a possibility they have to prepare for. Yeah, and I think him and Bigger seem to have a good kind of chemistry going when they have been seen together. Maybe we haven't seen as much of Murray in the warm-up games as we thought, but I think that speaks more to the fact that he's kind of accepted as the nine, and it's up to the other two to kind of dislodge him.
Yeah, I would rather see Ali Price personally, but I can't see Gatlin going with him. I think he will go with Conor Murray and Dan Bigger. I've literally have erased Ali Price's names and swapped it with Murray's and swapped back with Ali Price's six times today. But I just think first test, I think he's going to... not. It's harsh to say play it safe with Conor Murray, but at least play with a bit more of, we know what we're doing, this is what we're going to do, kind of that kind of style of it. So I've gone with Murray and Bigger at 9-10. Sam?
I've gone with Price and Bigger. I think that the Murray talk about being a guaranteed starter, I said it when he was made captain. I said that, yeah, it's probably an indication that it's his jersey to lose now, but I said that Gatland has always maintained his captain doesn't definitely start. I think that was always the case with Murray. I think Price has been given the opportunity to showcase his abilities, show what he can bring to the team. I think he has looked a lot more dangerous than Murray. And I think you make a good point about it being kind of safer, more steady. But I just don't think that Murray has brought anything in the way of urgency or anything in the way of delivery that Price has. I've seen Price playing the last couple of times. I really think he's taken the opportunities and he's done what any coach is going to want your fringe players to do in these warm-up games is take their opportunities. And I think that Gatland will reward that. I think the zip he can get in the ball, especially when you want to try and get it out wider, quicker and off the base and, you know, play with the ball a little bit. I think that Gatland will allow his players to play themselves into contention. I think that's what Price has done.
Yeah, that's a good point. But sure, Conor Murray's been starting games he has no right starting for the last couple of years. Hey-o!
that's another 30 listeners gone anyway.
Sorry, all the months. I couldn't resist. I was set up on a play. I couldn't not do it. So, yeah, look, it will be interesting to see if he does go with Price. It's sort of him saying, look, we're going to try and actually not have a go a bit more here, but like, a bit more of attacking kind of mindset, which will be exciting.
Do you think I was going between Bigger and Smith, and I really think that Smith has actually done himself a lot of favors in the last game. I don't think that he's, you know, he's had the opportunity the full time to become the test starter, but I think that if you're going to reward someone for form, like, he's gone into it off the back of an England debut, winning the league and then had an absolute stellar performance, ran it with a huge amount of maturity, played really well, was very aggressive in the tackle as well as offensively. I think that Smith, he's put himself in contention. More so, I think some people for some reason are like more okay with Smith being in contention than Russell ever was, even though they're kind of both considered Maverick players. But I think that he put himself in contention. I didn't pick him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets rewarded for such a good kind of thing. And, you know, you hear all the time about Lions players, you know, that were not necessarily in the original touring party coming out and being considered players of the tour, players of the series. And he could be, it just could be, he could be riding the crest of a wave of like on a high at the moment. And Gatland might want to tune into that and hone in on it.
I'd be shocked if he, unless Baker's injured and then they put him on the bench, but I can't see him. I just can't, I'd be shocked just to come in and play, you know, one warm-up game at such a young age with so little experience in terms of Test rugby. I'd be shocked. I'm not saying he's not good enough. I just don't think Gatland is going to risk his legacy as the Lions coach on a player he knows probably very little about. Wesley, what do you think about that?
I think Smith played really well today. I think he really grew into the game, and especially grew into that kind of, you know, playmaker role, especially towards the end. If you don't want to talk about his age, I mean, he's only a year or two older than Louis Rees-Samet. Louis Rees-Samet could well start for the Lions over the next few days. I think he probably has more to do. Like, it's not necessarily just down to his ability as a player. It's the fact that he's only been in camp for about 5 days at the minute. So I think it's unlikely, especially in this game, to see him start. And I think depending on how the tour goes, maybe later in the tour you might see him play. What actually is the story? Is Finn Russell gone completely, or is he on ice, or what?
Definitely for the first.
Definitely for the first test. So it'll be interesting to see where we are with tens. You know, as I say, Bigger's a bit of a concern. Farrell wasn't overly stellar in that position over the last couple of games. So, you know, you could see caution thrown to the wind. I mean, seeing Smith come off the bench, I don't think is beyond the realm of possibility, but I think the first game tells a lot, right? So I think depending on his game goes, we'll know how much kind of movement is going to be as the games go on. I do think there's probably three individual game plans for three individual games with players in mind to fill those roles. I have no idea what those game plans are, though.
Oh, if you did, that'd be great. We could, you know, get a lot more listeners. We'll move on to, will we do centers or wings first, Wes? You decide.
We'll go with centers because I'm pretty sure we've all got the same. Aki and Henshaw, conversation over.
We'll have question. Two of those. We'll have that twice.
Yeah, Sam? I got my Aki and my Henshaw. I think it's criminal how little discussion is around Aki in terms of.
This is going to be at least a 10-minute rant, so we'll tune off here.
I'm seeing pundits and fans talking about their Lions 23s, and they're all discounting Aki. They're all including Henshaw. I've included Henshaw, but they're all including Henshaw in like a 12. You know, having played one game since the Japan game. And Aki's played in every game bar the Stormers game. He's been very good in all of them. He's been doing everything that's been asked of him. And I think that that's part of Gatland's game plan, is to get what he asks of his players out of the players. He might not necessarily be as flashy as, you know, a France backline, but Gatland is asking for something and Aki's been doing it. And I think with my Gatland hat on, I think that Gatland's going to go for him.
Yeah, I actually agree. I think Gatland will love what Aki brings. Again, you're playing South Africa here, incredibly physical team, and you need someone who can match it. And Aki's one of those players. And Henshaw is definitely one of those players who is going to be given the benefit of the doubt of having not played that much, because he's been in, for the last year at least, in incredible form. And it's no slight to Chris Harris or anything like that. And obviously, Elliot Daly has emerged himself as a more than competent centre through all of this. And he's fantastic, and he's... spoiler alert, he's made my bench, Elliot Daly, because of his ability to cover so many roles. But to me, yeah, I think if you're going to go with a starting partnership for Test 1, I'm going Aki Henshaw. Wes, end to that on that, or we're just going to move on?
No, well, I want to say, first off, I've been a big fan of Chris Harris's from day one. I wouldn't be too surprised if he starts ahead of Henshaw, but I think the conversation, you know, the conversation people are having is who starts with Henshaw, and I really think the conversation is who starts with Aki. He's clearly, you know, a key member of the squad. Now, again, key member of the squad doesn't always mean you're going to start every game, but him and Henshaw have an established partnership. We know Henshaw gets in on raw ability. And I think Aki as a team player and a squad man, I think, and I think like on form as well, if you want to pick anybody on form, Aki is one of about five players that definitely gets in on form.
Yeah. Is that, yeah.
Sorry. Did Gatlin go with Tio in the first test in New Zealand as well?
Yeah.
And yeah, because I was watching that the other day and he played quite well, but then he just didn't appear again. And that could well be in Gatlin's mind. It could be, you could start Aki Henshaw with the idea that Harris Daly are doing something the next week, or Henshaw Daly or whatever it is, you know, that, that could be the case. But I think that, yeah, you're going to want to lay down a marker against South Africa in the first test. And I think bringing the physicality of Aki and Henshaw, the established partnership that Gatlin name-checked itself when he was talking about his picks, when he announced the squad, he said he name-checked that partnership. So, and we saw it, earlier on in the tour, it was against Japan. He was there, the two of them were very good together. So I think that that, I think that, that gets Aki in.
Yeah, just look, at on the off chance that you're listening, Bundy, please don't get sent off. Like, all we want, just please. People don't need any more, you know, ammo. Because some people just don't like you for whatever reason it is. Mostly Leinster and off the
because
ball.
Because they're wrong, Stephen?
Well, yeah, that's it. But, like, just keep the shoulder down a little bit. Don't always, you don't have to get every turnover. Just play solid rugby, okay, Bundy? And please come on the pod as well. Thanks, Bundy. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's pretty unanimous. We'll go with wings, and this one, I've picked this one on Gatlin, what I think Gatlin will go with rather than what I would probably have gone with. So I've gone with Watson and Adams, and I nearly went with Liam Williams, but Adams is obviously in fantastic form. Anthony Watson is incredibly solid, doesn't do anything wrong. And I just think he'll, you could look, you could argue that he'll drop one of those for Liam Williams. You could argue the only reason I haven't gone with Van der Merwe, I think physically, obviously the most physical of all these wings, I just think defensively definitely not as solid as the rest of them. Under the high ball, he's not terrible, but I just don't have the same confidence as in him as other players. And that's sort of, and you're playing South Africa, there's going to be a lot of high balls coming down on top of you. And that was kind of my reasoning on that. Sam?
Yeah, I went with Van der Merwe and Adams. Like, except your point about Williams, Watson, unbelievable player. Like, he couldn't be better. And, you know, he was supposed to play at 15 2 weeks ago, and then because of COVID and the changes and the last-minute switches, he didn't. But I thought that was an interesting little look into something that could have happened down the line, because the open field running space he'd be granted at 15 would be brilliant. But no, I think Van der Merwe has just he's been going from strength to strength on the tour. You can question his defensive ability a bit, but I think some of that might be by design. I think we spend a lot of time on the podcast questioning wingers' defensive abilities, and I'm slowly kind of coming around to the idea that maybe that's tactical and by design, and that pressures are more important than tackles, and they have rush defenses, like a Sean Edwards rush defense that gets up. Winger doesn't necessarily make his tackles, but if the wing is getting beaten outside, that means that the back line has played it very quickly. So I think that that could be a little bit by design. Maybe he's not as good defensively, but I think what he adds to it offensively, he's on try scoring form, as is Adams, and I just don't think you can look past that.
Yeah, it was fair. Westy?
Yeah, I've gone with Van der Merwe and Adams as well. I almost went with Zammit and Adams. That would have been my other choice. I just think, you know, you guys mentioned it earlier, like, I think overall this team is going to be about stability, not necessarily about flash. I don't think this game is going to be too much about flash. I think it's going to be more about stability and kind of establishing a good footing against South Africa. I also think if you think about who he's most likely to be up against, so you've either got, like, kind of young lads on one, Mapimpi, I think, as far as I know, is still unavailable. You might have a young and experienced guy in a wing, or you might have Ches and Kobe. And I think Ches and Kobe is going to step wherever you have. It doesn't matter how good your defense is there. I think if you're going to put up a physical specimen against them, somebody to run at them, you know, possibly barrel over them and kind of establish, I don't want to say dominance, but establish kind of go forward ball from your wings. I think that a display of strength maybe might be the way forward in a first test, just to kind of test the waters and see what comes up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Wings, we kind of disagreed there, so we're interested to see what he goes with. Full back has been a hotly chatted about debate as well. Sam, do you want to kick us off there?
Yeah, I went with Williams. Just for all the things you said about him on the wing, the stability he has, the being very good in the air. He's tried and tested. He's done really, really well for Gatlin in the past. And then also just because Hogg has missed portions of this tour so far. He's not maybe not been brilliant. He's not been bad at all, but I think Williams has been extremely solid in every game he's played so far, and I'd be very happy and very confident in his ability to kind of run the backfield, especially if you're talking about Van der Merwe potentially having defensive frailties. I think Williams can make up for that because he is extremely, extremely, I'm trying to think, consistent is the word I'm thinking of. Whereas I think Hogg, you know, he has captained the team. He might not be able to get in and out of it. I have him on my bench, definitely, because he's such a good player, but I have Williams starting because I think they will pepper us with a lot of high ball.
Yeah, I've gone with Hogg, but the more I'm thinking about it now, the more I'm not quite sure why I have. It's really tough. Like, Hogg is obviously an exceptional player. Like, was nominated for European Player of the Year, wasn't he, during the club season? Sort of like Henshaw, I'm kind of okay with him not having a lot of games under his belt just because I know how good he is. Look, Liam Williams is fantastic, and if he starts full back, I wouldn't be worried at all. It's almost like nearly because I just can't see a Lions team without Stuart Hogg on it. So I nearly have to see it to believe it, in a sense, as in like a starting test team because of his name and who he is. But what are you giving facial expressions for, Westy?
Hogg's been, as far as I know, and Craig was wrong, Hogg's already been on two Lions tours and not played a single test. So
I'm not, yeah, but
really easy to believe.
this version of
I really want to see him get that third tour.
Version
by Conor Murray. That's why he went home the last time, wasn't it? Was that the first time? The first story went on. He ran into Conor Murray's elbow and busted his face open and got sent home.
Dastardly Conor Murray strikes again. No, this version of Hogg is what I meant. You smart arse.
He got dropped a few times towards the end of the Premiership season as well, though. So
yeah, yeah. It's fair. Look, we'll see. And if he starts 15, I'm going to come at you on Twitter, Westy. I'm going to come at you.
Yeah,
what
if he dropped the ball over the line?
Oh,
as
prone to do.
Yeah, all true.
I'm not sure Liam Williams has ever done that. Maybe he has.
Westy, I think it's fair to say you haven't gone with Hogg at 15.
I actually had Hogg written down all day, and then about 2 hours ago, I changed it to Liam Williams. So I was like, you know what? I just think again. Gatlin will go when he knows best. He'll go with Liam Williams. As Sam said, South Africa are going to kick, and they're probably going to kick shallow. So that fullback is going to have to come up and catch the ball. They don't kick a lot in play. They do kick from the ruck. So I don't think you have to worry too much about that kind of movement in field. I think it's going to be all about running on to shallow kicks, dominating the ball in the air, and kind of your reaction time. I think that is really where Liam Williams shines. I think he's really athletic. He's really nimble. I think he's, you know, he's a great bound to get up and catch the ball. And I think that's going to give the Lions a lot of their platform for attack, or at least it's going to be one way they can counter what South Africa are going to try and do.
Yeah. Look, yeah, there's, again, probably will be Liam Williams, but if it is Hogg, I am going to be one smarmy bastard. Come on.
It was Williams' break for the Sean O'Brien try in the New Zealand test tour, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kieran Reid's still looking for him. It was such a step. The best part of that is you can see Kieran Reid's face in another angle, and as soon as he steps in, Kieran Reid just kind of goes, that's all he does, because he knows he's just been done. It's fantastic. A bench, we'll get into the bench. This was incredibly hard to pick as well, because of what we think Gatlin will do. I'll start with my front row replacements. I've gone with Jamie George. I went with Wynn Jones and Sinclair, but are you guys going with Mako instead of Wynn Jones, Sam?
No, I went with Wynn Jones and Sinclair as well. I think Mako hasn't played enough, but I, you know, was extremely impressed with his kind of cameo against Stormers. But, he was linking up, he's looking athletic, and he's looking like he really has the physicality. So I would not be surprised if Gatland went with him. But I just think Wynn Jones is, you know, he's Mr. Consistency in that position. And that's why Westy put him in the starting team. And it's why I'm putting him on my bench. I think he comes in, he shores it up if you need him to.
Have you gone with Jamie George's hooker?
And Jamie George and Sinclair as well, yeah.
Westy?
Yes, I've gone George, Mako and Fagerson.
Oh, over Sinclair?
Oh.
Yeah, putting it in there. Wow. I'm going for it.
Having a good tour. Like,
I think he's having a really strong tour. I think it's kind of one of the kind of rewards I've given him, that he's having a really good tour. He could make a really good impact off the bench. We know Furlong is going to, well, touch wood, is going to go for a while. You know, it's not, we know he has the fitness level. I think Mako is kind of your physical impact sub that comes on. I just think Ferguson's kind of earned it. I kind of wanted to give it to him. Jamie George could easily start ahead of Cowan Dickey. Yeah, and you could make an argument for Ken Owens as well. I really don't know how that one's going to go. But I think if you're starting a younger Cowan Dickey, you're going to have George as a little bit more athletic coming off the bench. I think Ken Owens is just unlikely to come off the bench. I think if he plays, he'll probably start and then be replaced after a while after he kind of, you know, becomes his age, maybe, let's say. But I've gone with a 6-2 split as well, so I've kind of tried to mix up the subs that I've put in.
Yeah, that's fair. Sam, can you talk to the rest of your subs then? Have you gone for 6-2 split as well?
No, I went 5-3.
I've gone 5-3-2, but I'm regret. I think I might regret it now.
I think Gatlin goes 6-2 anyway.
Yeah, he does probably.
He could go 7-1 again. That throw it worked. Throw everyone. Really interestingly, just before I get onto it, is I just saw before we started the podcast that South Africa have pulled forward their press conference for announcing their team to tomorrow noon. So they're just going. I think that they're playing like a poker game here, and they're kind of showing their hand early, and let's see how Gatland reacts. Because if he sees something, he's almost forcing Gatland to second guess his team pick. And I think it's Raziel Erasmus he's playing a very interesting game, which I think would be great. But I get back to my bench. So I had Wyn Jones, Jamie George, Sinclair. I had Hendo, and I literally just rubbed it out because I convinced myself earlier on about Laws. So I have Laws because he covers second row and back row. And I have Hamish for that impact to come on and just run riot. So it's Wyn Jones, Jamie George, Sinclair, Laws, and Hamish are the five forwards. And then I have Murray because I think he's unlucky to miss out for Ali Price in my team. I have Hogg because he does cover fullback and out half because I don't have an out half on my bench. And I have Daly because of his versatility, the wing and the center kind of mix as well. So I think I'm kind of going with versatility in those back three or in the back line. Subs with Hogg being able to cover two positions, Daly being able to cover two positions.
Yeah, I've Curry on my bench, Laws as well. Same reason you have, basically, Sam. Obviously, Curry instead of Watson for you, but yeah, Laws can cover both. Curry is a fantastic player and can cover a lot of positions too. I have Ali Price on my bench, obviously, Murray starting. I have Owen Farrell. And I have Elliot Daly. So Daly obviously can cover a lot of positions. And I'm kind of, I don't know if I should take Farrell out and put another kind of forward. And I think Farrell is, look, I'm not a Farrell fan, as in personally, I don't think he's a nice lad or anything like that. But I think he's a really good, I think he's fantastic. He's almost kind of been underrated lately, and I get that. I just think big time, big games, he tends to rise to the occasion. Like, look at the last Lions story. He was... if there was a rugby player in the world that I had to like bet my life on to kick a goal, I'd nearly have Owen Farrell. Like, I just think when the pressure's on, he tends to rise to that occasion. But whether he fits into this bench realistically should probably be a 6-2 split. Probably, I don't know. I just kind of went with Farrell, and obviously then if Bigger is injured, maybe start Farrell and then have Marcus Smith kind of on the bench as that impact player. But that's kind of the way I went. But looking back, if I'm probably being sensible, I probably would take Farrell out and put another forward. But Westy, what about you?
Yeah, so I say mine is 6-2. I went with Henderson, Laws, and Curry. For the same reason you guys are picking Laws, you cover second and back row, right? If Jones goes down early, you have Henderson to come on. If Itoje slows down, you still have another option here to bring Laws on. The one thing I do kind of think is I'm not sure we're likely to see Byrne and Laws in the same team because they do kind of both offer that filler role. Now, they offer different strengths as well when they do that, but if you were to start maybe Curry instead, you're not going to have Laws and Byrne, I don't think, on the bench. So maybe that would be an argument for Byrne being on the bench and Laws not being there, or Byrne been dropped and Laws been there on the bench to cover. Yeah, I think Curry has been fantastic. You know, I think he'd do very well coming off the bench and injecting a bit of life into probably a fatigued back row. And obviously Henderson is just, you know, really physical specimen. He's going to be that kind of that secondary enforcer that comes on again. I think it's about reinvigorating the team when, you know, when it's, well, maybe you're 5 points down and there's 15 minutes to go, who are your guys who are going to bring on and grab the game by the scruff of the neck? And I think that is Ian Henderson. My other two, then, I've gone with Price and Daly. I'm starting Murray. You guys are starting Price. Could go either way with
I'm
that.
I'm starting
really.
Murray. I'm starting Murray.
You're starting Murray as well. I think it could go either way on it. I think Price is probably the next in contention for it. Again, he is a little bit more zippy, a little bit more fast. So if we're looking to change the style of game that we're playing, he's the kind of guy you want to bring on to replace Murray. Murray being that little bit more consistent of a nine, and Price being that little bit more of a dare we say, John Cooney player who just will kind of be a little bit more dynamic in the role. And then Daly is there because the man covers everywhere. Like, the man can play fullback, you can put him in the wing, you put him in centre, and as far as I'm aware, he can kick a goal if he needs to. So
yeah, from 60 metres out. Yeah.
Casual 60 metres.
Casual 60, yeah. Yeah, he has been fantastic this tour. Yeah, look, as I said, this was not easy to pick our 23s because, you know, you could argue for a lot of players and they would still be good teams. But we've picked our teams now. Again, let us know who you think. Let us know your 15s or your 23s on Twitter. We can have a discussion about it. Westy, obviously, the first test is this Saturday. How are you feeling about it? Do you think that the Lions will get it done, or do you think South Africa will pull it out?
Good question. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's why I'm paying big bucks.
I wasn't expecting you to ask me who I thought was going to win. I really wasn't prepared for that question.
Well, you don't have to, but like, are you confident as a Lions supporter?
I'm kind of quietly confident. I think that we didn't really get... it was a great game. I really enjoyed the South Africa A game during the week. I thought it was fantastic to see. I don't think we got too much in terms of kind of strategy. I think it's going to be a completely different game on Saturday, obviously with the pressure of a test match built on top of it. I think it's very possible for the Lions to get it. I hope they took away a lot from the A game in terms of decision making and in terms of how they're going to shape their attack a little bit. Sadly, I don't think the Lions' defense was tested overly outside of that A game, so we don't really know what shape that's going to take. But I'd be quietly confident. I hope they've kind of taken the takeaways from that A game and that we see a slightly different... well, actually, I don't think it's going to be slightly different at all. I think it's going to be a completely different attack and shape that the lads will take. And I think it is a chance to catch the box a little bit on the hop. They're not going to run away with it. But I'm quietly confident that it'll be a strong performance from the Lions, and hopefully they'll get the result in the first test.
Yeah, Sam, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling quite confident. I know you can't write off South Africa, but I think the Lions are, they're coming into it. The South Africa A game was the only blip in the tour, but it was actually much needed. Like, the amount of times I'm kind of pulling my hair out listening to people talking about not being tested, and it's a bit of a farce of a Lions tour because they keep putting 50 and 60 on other teams. And I think that there's a lot to be said for, you know, doing that and for getting your confidence up and for playing well and for people to get used to scoring tries and those sort of things. But then you also have the other side of it where they had a bit of a beating. They were beaten up by a South African A team, and they are now aware of the physicality that's going to be needed, because that South African A team, they could see 11, 12 of those players starting the weekend. So it's not going to be much new. So I do think that the Lions can definitely do it. From reading all reports from the coaching team, they're all, you know, they're making sounds about it being the hardest test squad they've ever had to pick, and Gatlin saying that he's never had a tougher pick than picking this team. And I believe him, because I don't think that we've picked our teams here. We've all picked 23 players. And I think that, you know, of the 37 that's on tour right now, outside of maybe Ronan Kelleher, because he's kind of just been brought in for cover and we haven't seen any of them, I think all other players can feel somewhat aggrieved for not being included in a 23. And would also, you wouldn't be overly disappointed to see them in a 23. I think that there's been a serious standard laid down by everyone. And I think everyone's form is, you know, hitting that kind of stride right now. So coming into the weekend, I'm confident. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think the Lions will get it done.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it as well. Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards the Lions a little bit, and it's basically a lot to do with what you said, Sam. Like, to experience that physicality and intensity that they did against South Africa A before the first test is such an advantage, I think, personally, because a lot of the Lions tours, it's, you don't really experience that until the first test, then you're one test down and you're already behind the eight ball and you're sort of like, okay, we're kind of, you know, we have to win the next two. Whereas having experienced that now, every training since that game, everything like that's been talked about, I'm sure, at every training and the coaching sessions, they know sort of what to expect. Obviously, probably a little bit more, you know, with South Africa's full strength team, but you sort of know what you have to get to, and that's a massive advantage, I think, personally, with the Lions. And look, South Africa haven't exactly had the best preparation for this tour, have they? Like, it's been a nightmare in a lot of ways. And even losing players like Orji Snyman, you know, because of a fire pit accident in Limerick. Like, you know, like, everything that could have went wrong nearly went wrong for this South African team. And their preparation compared to the Lions has been definitely more bumpy. So, look, if it's ever going to happen, I think this is the year to happen. If South Africa can still beat the Lions this year, then absolutely fair play to them. They deserve it. But again, we'll see. But I'm looking for. I'll be in a pub watching it, so I probably will be drunk at that stage. Where are you guys watching? Are you guys watching at home or?
I watch it at home. I'm gonna concentrate. Go close the blinds. I'm gonna watch it in the darkness. Cry myself to sleep if it doesn't go well.
It's an early game too. It's an early bedtime.
Yeah, when you have a 10-week-old baby, you go to bed whenever she goes to bed.
Westy, as someone who is a 10-week-old baby, what are you doing this weekend?
I will hopefully be out in Salt Hill in O'Reilly's on the roof watching the Lions. Stuff dreams are made of.
I know, but nice. I feel bad then because I'll be wanting to watch the game. I have a mate coming over, you see. That's the only reason I'm going out. I haven't seen him since Christmas. So I'm sort of like, oh, yeah, oh, that's the day you can come down? Cool. Yeah, no problem at all. Just the Lions are on. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch. But yeah, looking forward to it. So boys, appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to prepare your teams. As I said, let us know on social medias what kind of team you go for. If you think that we're talking shite or that we might be onto something, let us know either. But boys, appreciate it. We'll do it next week. We'll recap test one. We'll chat to you then.
Bye.
Thanks up. Bye.